Yeah, for the past year or so, I've been posting pieces on YouTube about a variety of subjects, from popular culture to high culture to books to movies and so on. By far the strongest reaction I've gotten have been to the pieces on atheism and belief. As you know, on YouTube you can comment, so I've seen a number, in some cases hundreds of comments on a given piece, most of which I must say are negative, mostly from people who are very angry with religion, or they just don't like the whole idea of God, and they come back at me. And then I'm able to respond to them, and sometimes these very lengthy conversations get going. And what struck me in the course of this past year is you can discern in these conversations some of the principal, what I call, heresies of our time. What I mean are attitudes and perspectives that make the proclamation of the Catholic view difficult. I'm working right now on a book on St. Irenaeus, who was a great second century theologian. He wrote his masterpiece is called Adversus Heresis, Against the Heresies. And I thought you could do almost an up-to-date version of that based upon these YouTube conversations, that these heresies emerge, that are maybe the principal problem we have in propagating the faith. Anyone interested in apologetics or in evangelization has to know what's out there in the culture that's opposed to our message. So I've identified four. The first great heresy is scientism, the view that reality is restricted to what the sciences can explain. Reality is reducible to what can be analyzed through the empirical sciences. Now see, modernity gave us the physical sciences, and they've been massively successful. Science has given us so much. It's given us technology. We've benefited from it in enormous ways. Science is very good at taking an object, analyzing it, cutting it into sections, understanding how it functions. It's not very good at pursuing the questions of ultimate meaning, of ultimate truth and causality. There you step outside of a purely empirical dimension. Therefore, when you begin to suggest there are other dimensions to reality, articulated by philosophy or by religion, people react. And they say, if science can't explain it, science can't see it, measure it, analyze it, it's not real. And I keep pressing the argument that philosophy, for example, opens us to a dimension of reality, which is real and important, though it can't be analyzed in the ordinary empirical way. So I offer some of these standard arguments for God's existence based upon contingency, that the world is made up of things that do not explain themselves adequately. We have to move, therefore, through a series of causes to come eventually to something which does explain itself, which exists by the power of its own essence, and this Catholic philosophy calls God. Now, people balk right away, and they say, well, no. All that's real is what the sciences describe. Therefore, this sort of philosophical speculation is unjustified. And I keep saying, no, philosophy also explores the real, but using a different kind of intellectual discipline. It's not following the analytical, empirical method of the sciences, but nevertheless, it gets you in touch with something real. In a similar way, I've suggested that people, Hemingway, Faulkner, Shakespeare, Dante, Michelangelo, also get you in touch with reality, though they're not using analytical, empirical, scientific methods. Literature, the arts, philosophy are all ways of exploring the real, though non-scientifically. Another problem, of course, with scientism is the way this attitude is expressed undermines itself. Here's what I mean. Many times on the YouTube forum, I'll find some version of this. Science explains reality. Science is the means of understanding all of reality. Well, that itself is a non-scientific claim. Where did you empirically see that claim? Where did you verify it through experimentation? That claim is itself a philosophical claim. It's based upon this personal intuition. Now, it may be right or wrong. That's not my point. The point is, you yourself have proven that empirical science is not the only way to know reality, because you're claiming a kind of philosophical intuition. So there's something operationally self-defeating about scientism. Another way, and I've urged this many times in the YouTube forums, is science itself rests upon a fundamentally mystical assumption that being is intelligible. Any scientist going out to meet reality must assume that what he or she will meet is knowable. It's marked by form or intelligibility. How do you know that? You don't know that scientifically. That's the assumption of all science. Science is grounded in something much more like a philosophical, or I would say, religious intuition. So trying to tease people out of their reductive scientism, I think, is one of the major challenges that I face. The second heresy I've identified on the YouTube forums is what I call ecclesial angelism. The view that somehow the church must be, if it's to be the church, utterly perfect in every way, and every church person over the centuries has to be like an angel, has to be like a saint. We think in Catholic theology that the church is like Christ, divine and human. There are divine elements in the church, in its essential teaching, in its doctrines, in its sacraments, especially the Eucharist. In its saints, the church manifests its divinity, its holiness, and that remains true and stable up and down the centuries. But St. Paul put it this way: we hold a treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure of the divine life, Christ's presence, but it's in these fragile clay vessels of people like you and me, who are flawed and finite and sinful. Therefore, should we be surprised that church people, often in the name of the church, have done terrible things over the century? I would say no, we shouldn't be the least bit surprised. We should expect it. But again and again on the YouTube forum, I'll get some version of this. You're a Catholic priest. The Catholic Church has done so many terrible things over the centuries, from the Crusades to the Inquisition to witch hunts to support of slavery, and then, most recently, to the sex abuse scandal. Why should I take you with any seriousness? See, my response is, we hold a treasure in earthen vessels. I'm trying to teach out of the Catholic tradition, which is good and true and right. Has that tradition been held by deeply flawed people who've often done terrible things? Sure. So I'm not scandalized by the misbehavior of Christians over the centuries. I don't deny that premise at all, that there's all kinds of bad things, and including very much the sex abuse scandal in recent years. It's terrible. Terrible. But in themselves, they don't undermine the validity of the church's great message, and I'm trying to get at that. And very often, I just get a kind of back-of-the-hand dismissal. Well, because you represent this deeply flawed institution, I shouldn't take you seriously. Someone commented once that Einstein's physics is the ground for the atomic bomb, which killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people. Well, that's true. Does that mean that Einstein's physics is wrong? Well, no, it's been used sometimes for bad purposes. So, Catholicism, Christianity have been hijacked and used sometimes for very bad purposes by Christians themselves. But that does not in itself undermine the validity of the message. So I think that's a second heresy we have to deal with, ecclesial angelism.